The squares began to grow. They were already better distinguished. They were covered with something that seemed to be shrubs, and on the shrubs there was something else. We flew over some of them, where we could distinguish vessels similar to the little one in which we found ourselves, and one where a ship covered the whole square. We started going down vertically. We headed to the right of one of the squares, as we could see perfectly on the bottom screen. Everyone stopped and we prepared to go out. The cabin door opened. To our left, there was a big column, stuck to the wall that I had not seen when we entered. A section has turned, and has left exposed a staircase in semicircular bars. The leaders advanced. One of them came down, then the other. They disappeared in the hollow column. My friends beckoned me to follow them. This operation reminded me of parachute descents. I stepped on a rung and holding my hands on the bar in front of me, it slowly started to go down like an elevator. It did not stop until it reached the ground, 5 meters under the bottom wall of the ship. We found ourselves under the belly of the ladder that was actually black and brilliant. Around me it was filled with little trees, all loaded with fruit. It breathed like perfume. Between the trees there were large poles of metal, black as well. On these rested our ship. There was also passages that went in all directions and which amounted to at least half a meter above ground level. Stepping on it sounded hollow. Comment: this reminds me and so taking this picture from the film Astral City, from Book of by the Spirit of Andre Luis, through medium Francisco Candido's Avior in the 40s. Continues on text then. Trees did not measure more than 2 meters height, but they were bushy. Their branches stripped, had no leaves, nor did we see fallen leaves on the ground. Their branches were pretty large and not proportional with the trunk. Each branch had fruits in abundance. I touched one and I felt that the peel was extremely thin. The fruit was sweet, as when it is ripe. Each tree was supported at the trunk level by 4 supports that started from the ground. These supports were angled like legs and attached to trunk. These were connected to 2 canals. Comment: obviously an artificially created tree in fruit, and just naturally that at some point we will be able to cross out fruit types with very high nutrition, without the actual mother tree needing to be so big. Ro remark. I examined the earth, but it did not have anything similar to ours. It looked like dust from something like crushed rubber or fine sand. It was black and wet, extremely wet, but not water-based, rather a liquid mischief. My friends confirmed that indeed this was not land, but a chemical, and that the trees were not supported by the roots but that the latter only served them to feed them. They also confirmed to me that we were on a, and that this one was a tank that contained everything the necessary to feed their fruit growing. We followed a corridor to the edge, which were a thick balustrade / handrail. I looked down and I realized that what I thought were channels were streets. The below, several vehicles moved, and along the walls there was a large amount of people, all aligned, in order. They did not meet nor was clinging together. When I looked up, I saw something amazing, a very tall and endless dome, one of which could not see where it ends. My friends told me that this, their entire world, but that it was not only that. It was spreading like trays in all directions. They continued to explain to me that it was a thick layer of clouds, to which they had mixed substances. By receiving the rays of the sun, this layer absorbed heat and light and there, here not finding a translation, it multiplied, and it is with this light, that they lit all up. They assured me that they did not have nights. Comment: this fits with Venus, which astronomers here say have no own rotation. Ro remark. The climate was stifling and I was starting to long for air. The air I was breathing was not enough. I felt bad. I stretched the collar of my shirt that was elastic, but it was not enough. The face burned. I thought I was going to faint and I was leaning on the railing. The men who watched over me expected this reaction and immediately arrived prepared. They gave me something that looked like a piece of rubber, in the size of a cigar, and they told me to suck as if I smoked it. The reaction was remarkable. With each puff, I recovered my strength until I felt normal. The neck of my shirt was still tight, but did not bother me more. Under this monumental dome, we saw infinity of vessels like the one we brought back to inside, and some, enormously like the biggest, and all were black. They crossed each other quickly at different elevations. I noticed that the altitude at which they was flying was according to the direction in which they were going. Not from book, Venus may once have been habitable. An artist's depiction of ancient Venus, there was not just one form of ships. There is also some tubulars, of various sizes, widths and widths. There were some spherical, also different dimensions. They looked like balls of crystal. Above us, there is one who passed and who looked like a pear or an egg. It was near us at low altitude and was moving slowly. They affirm me that it was also a carrier ship. Something caught my attention. Despite the speed and fusion of vehicles, these did not collide. A gigantic ship descended in front of us and, meeting a smaller one, the latter deviated with astonishing speed. It seems to me that crew members did not intervene. I questioned them, and they explained to me the phenomenon. All machines have a strength of repulsion, and if someone carelessly goes into crossing the road of another, it is repulsed as a ball. We walked in a passage along the balustrade until you reach a corner of the roof. There were the elevators, arranged on all the length of this side of the roof. They are not the style closed, like the ones we know. They have three sides covered with a massive and rigid grid. We're leaning back on that grid, and I'm held firmly with my hands, but by the controls where I was standing. One of the leaders asked me if I was hungry and, my faith, I did not feel it, I had even forgotten it, but I tell him I answered that yes. Because by chance, this building has a room to eat, he commented with a laugh. Actually, going down we stopped at each floor, but they were all full of people. We continued to descend. We finally found several empty places and we went out to this floor. Great harmony reigned in all the movements of the people. Nobody hindered or whispered. Everyone arrived, took their food, sat down, then brought back the empty tray and withdrew. Artist impression on city on other planets. Not from this, okay, I realized that the wall that faced the one we went down to was also covered with elevators. And the other two walls were turned into cupboards, filled with identical trays. The floor of this room was covered with small chairs that were equipped with a reversible board on which one deposited the tray. But poor me. Now that I knew food better, my friends offered me a double ration and I ate until satiety. There were 10 flavors and they were all different. I also observed that the colors were very varied, so much so that I am tired of counting them. They told me that each color had 5 different flavors, which gave thousands of flavors. However, they had all the same consistency. The teaspoons they use have some resemblance to our shovels, square, but slightly curved and are very small. Here we have placed Salvador in a supposed cafe, and as shown, he was then as a giant among those others who were then about 1 meter in height according to his book. Maybe he was 1.7 meters, which was average in Mexico then. The people I saw in this building did not measure more than 1 meter. All very small, all wore identical clothes to those that had been put to me, but of different color. In this climate-controlled world, there is an unbroken colors, and everywhere that we put the look, men and women dress in the same way. Visually, they are distinguished only by the forms proper to the woman. When speaking, his voice is relaxed. This is not the case of that of men, who is rough and to a certain extent unpleasant to the ear. All have blonde hair and vaguely, and all have it falling on to the shoulders. They have also all green eyes and ivory skin. My friends explained to me that the breed was small because they wanted it that way, and that the process was a result of scientists. As for the color of their skin, their hair and their eyes, it was due to the climate that reign on this planet. My first two friends and I stayed in dining room. The other people had left us because they had to report. We devoted ourselves to dig/poking freely. It turns out would be wonderful to be among so many dolls human, for whom I had to look like a monster. We left the dining room by the same elevator and arrived at what was to be the Zanine. This floor was completely empty. People were circulating through this place. From street to street, there were no doors. The two front walls, which had no elevators, had a series of entries into a bow shape, and in the center there were two that were wider than the others. At this point, there was vehicles, there was a lot of light, but we did not see the source. It looked like the walls produced it. We walked on a floor as with shock absorbers, which was polished like a metal. We went out towards the street and in front of the building we stopped. The sidewalks were traveling at a moderate speed. They were divided into three bands, two moved in opposite directions and the middle one was motionless. Yes, as our escalators people changed easily from one band to another to that which was immobile, and from that to that which who came in the opposite direction, or they entered a building. The facades were smooth and had no kind of windows, completely smooth. Their beautiful colors resembled glass or, to put it better, to mirrors, because the image was clearly reflected. We noticed the union of the material on each floor, but only on the width. Each building was of one color. They are thus differentiated. There were no signs, no species. Dining rooms, for example, were blue, and we found them for every four blocks of houses. The roadway of the street was wide. It was dividing at the center by a narrow half turn, was covered with kinds of metal strips, one narrow and the other large. The narrow was yellow and the wide band was brown dark. I saw only two types of vehicles, soil, shall we say, since we cannot say land very. There is a small model, individual, for anybody. It is equipped with two rollers. It's not like the idea that we have of the wheel, well proportioned because they are big and wide. Those are designed for just one person, but there are some who have three rolls. In the small model, there is a seat with a backrest and on the front wheel there is only one sleeve, no bigger than the hand of one of them. We handle it like a crank. In the large model, the seat is wide and there is also a folder and a footrest. Just like the others, it is controlled with a sleeve. We see this type of abandoned vehicles in the mezzanines, equals mezzanine floor, in tessel mezzanine et as, no, DVS, lavet as melum festorganon et as, in almost every building. Can be interpreted as some similar, as in the Eckhart contact, but they were flying cars parked on the terraces of their simple flats they all lived in, because of the earlier problems with great overpopulation there. As also the Yaga contact was into. Row remark, no indoor use of them and they abandons them when used, and accessible when have use of them. Those with three rolls are generally used by couples, men and women. We see them circulating at a good speed and usually on the bands. The other type of ground vehicle, we could appeal, call, the collective. They look like frames. Most have 10 floors, although there are some who have less. This kind of transport is rather rare, and as the system seemed interesting to me, I will try to describe it in every detail but for this first let's see how are the streets, so that we can understand better. These rise, and descend by forming viaducts at each corner of street. Vehicles always pass under a bridge at every two blocks. They use the space of these viaducts to house the platforms that received the passengers. Let's see now how are the vehicles that circulate about 1 meter from the sidewalks. And since we're talking about sidewalks, we're going to complete their description. Throughout their length, there is a rigid railing that separates them from the traffic of the street. In what could be there, is the opening of an endless vacuum cleaner which takes care of dust the ground, dust that could produce trouble for the continuous rolling of vehicles. No accepted waste in this world, where one notices a cleanliness absolute. The vehicles are, as I have already said, 20, that are attached to a platform that serves them as basic. This platform in turn rests on several rows of rollers. Generally, each row has 5 big rolls and we count up to 10 rows. The vehicle is a frame caravan and there are 2 identical ones in each stop. These frames are without rollers and are grouped together, one behind the other. I will now try to describe the last element, that is, where sit the passengers. It's a box that contains up to 10 benches, and on each of the benches can sit 5 to 6 people. Small people, of course. Every box is a whole mechanism. Would be desirable with a drawing or more, of all this. An image says more than 1,000 words. Ro remarked the vehicle comes to a stop and it adjusts with accuracy to millimeters, parallel to the first stationary frame. We hear a rap and a section separates to said stationary armature. She, it advance a few more meters to adjust with the next section and receives another crate full of passengers. I said earlier that each of these crates was a mechanism, is because the seats are installed on a band that as soon as it finds itself in the armament, stationary band, this band turns and positions each seat towards a sort of mechanical staircase. Unique, automatic. People use these escalators and these seats with great ease. These lifts take them to subterranean corridors and, to approach one of these vehicles, the operation is done in reverse. There's no drivers and machinists. The sum similar was told by Arthur Blipp in his book he made after his involuntary journey to the planet which they called Akkart in 1958. They do not use trailers. They also do not ride on rails and however they are so precise in their stops, that I think that even if a person maneuvers them, it could not be more precise. They go one after another, sometimes as single file. To some places, they reach speeds of 70 km/h, hour or more. They always circulate on two narrow bands. Light in the streets comes from the sky or the space vault. It's not as lively as the one we have in the day. It looks rather a little like that which floods our world at dawn. We see it enthralling, read thousands of places at once, like Ray's sun, passing through white clouds and silvery which form an endless reflector. My friends told me they did not have any artificial light in the streets and they did not have more nights, and the fact that no vehicle way to produce light seen confirm what they said to me. But inside buildings, the intensity of the light they use was something surprising. It seems to emanate from walls and ceilings. We went out walking, because even though the bands can move them, people feel the need to use their little legs without being carried. I was walking clumsily and my only concern was to not walk onto someone. The change that was happening in my being was admirable. I felt my mind clear and a great power of observation. I easily assimilated this that they explained to me and experienced such a degree of insecurity that I had almost forgotten that I had to return to my own world, although my friends did not know when. I also did not realize that the two spoke Spanish. And I only came back to reality by seeing my disproportion, with all the beings that surrounded me, not only in stature, but also in ugliness. Chapter 5. First Impressions. As I went for the first time on one of their roof gardens, I saw something that caught my eye. There were buildings that, although they were similar to others, they were only half. It had a circular shape and rose to a height of perhaps 200 meters. And ended in cupola-shaped, round and smooth. This extension was bright black, identical to that of circular vessels, like the one who had transported us to this wonderful world. There were plenty of them, because only 4 buildings separated them from each other, and any side you could count on. That is to say that each of them was in the middle of a group of 24 buildings. These were the only buildings which included signs or guides, but these indications, according to the words of my friends, did not indicate the number of the area. My friends explained to me that these monsters were the most important buildings because it was from these towers that the buildings were. And among these, there are dining rooms, dormitories, cinemas, playrooms, halls, sound, concert halls, laboratories for the preparation of food, a medical center, a garment factory and a hygiene laboratory for the latter. We control it. Also the distribution of clothing and food, as well as the climate and lighting of the building group, surrounding, and all this automatically. They also explained to me that from there, they maintained a constant communication with ships and buildings. In their towers they capture sounds that come from all over the universe. They study them, classify them and materialize them. And from their domes, They maintain the shape and the height of their atmospheric layer. They control also the climate outside the buildings. There is a way in which one can study one's past, see the present and the gestation of the future. We can see, without leaving, the processes of building construction, manufacturing and assembly of all kinds of air and land vehicles, as well as the preparation of their food and their clothes from the very beginning. They use a wonderful system of autosynovision. The word is right, because we can control the show at will. There are in each of their rooms, on the walls, curtains, in front of the screens, that are controlled from handles located on each side of the opening. On these handles, you lay your hand completely, keeping the thumb on a button. Just like in the halls of a cinema, you have an incredible sense of depth, and the idea invades us that we actually see men, material, machinery and their process. Surely a form of 3D screens similar to Super Good Flight Simulators as has also been launched here too, almost 70 years after this was allegedly experienced by him in 52, and then experienced as pure magic. Roe remark. With the handles, you can move the show, picture to left and right, or stop it, as if you was in a vehicle and we would like to visit this zone. For that, just press the buttons. As I consider that what I saw in some of these shows, is so interesting that I will try to describe these interesting impressions, we will start with something that we all know, the tires of any vehicle. It's a thing of their past because they have now a smooth floor-like mirror and they use a different axle system. But, as I said, they used a very similar type of tire to our own, although the manufacturing process was different. We go to the question of transport. Through air, limited, but we have made progress with speed, but not safety. We drive an automobile to more than 200 km per hour and the result is in the hands of luck. Our vehicles are mounted on four tires supported by air cores. We know from experience that not only at this speed, but even at a third of that, if one of these tires loses the air that supports it, unforeseen, our survival will depend only on the luck. And then he describes a kind of rubber tire production, and doubtful if he had seen such a thing in Mexico at that time, which was then an almost underdeveloped country and long before there were any television there. However, they do not play with their lives, nor do they leave this in the hands of luck. Therefore, they seek safety in reliability, in strength of material. And their tires in all forms are built on this principle. And as I saw the whole manufacturing process, I am able to describe it. I wished that in this case, I could make myself understood, because my vocabulary is so decrepit that I do not know if I'm able to express myself correctly. We will start with the kernel, that is, this which in our tires represents air under pressure, which is the basis of a reliable tire. To come to understand, we will imagine a mold for this core, as if into we wanted to put one of our tires. This mold is open in its part higher. In addition, it is divided on the width, at the center is, thus forming two equal sections that they can open to dislodge the kernel once built. The two walls that form the mold are covered with perforations on their entire surface. This mold rotates in a machine and in its cavity wraps the material that will form the tire. I saw three types of material, namely, a small pipe or a tube of the diameter of a pencil. It was made of a plastic special material, but it could have been rubber as we know it. The material was the same for the pipe, but reinforced with fiber, for that it has greater resistance, and finally another type of a material neither hollow nor solid. It was a cord or a cable of the same diameter as the previous ones. It was made of maybe sisal fiber, agave, jasa, or any other fibrous material. It was crooked natural chemically treated to be able to receive a plastic wrap and then rubber, all like the fibers that form the sole of our tires. Now, once the mold is filled with this material, of course always with the same tension, quantity and weight, all goes into the cooking process, in order to obtain a compact unit that does not break. We'll not be removing the mold. When the kernel is complete, both sections turn in the opposite direction without being removed from the material and that's how sections break away from the core without damaging it. Having arrived at this stage, we already have the basis for a good semi-solid and reliable tire. Then we do not. In the manufacture of a metal lattice, which will increase resistance and maintain the form, there is a machine that braids this lattice of the shape of the outside of our core. As it is braided, the core enters, accompanied by a bar of displacement that contains a groove at half its length. This groove is necessary because it goes through a circular knife that loads precisely divine the material needed to each nucleus. Shortly after cutting ... stops this industry talk here at this point. Now let's go to their air vessels. They assured me that the formula we were using to fly was not effective. Not only will our buckets be very fragile and unsafe, but they depended on fuel for their propulsion. In addition to increase their volume, this reduced their range of action. According to him, we had to find the way to build machines that use the forces that surround us, which are very vast. As they, in each ship, they were carrying small but powerful source of energy. That they profit from the heat as well as cold, light, darkness, magnetic fields like electrical storms. Design of their machineries in all their vessels was the same, and that only the provision, also here may be wrong word used, varied. I will try to discover, tell the construction process of a small circular vessel, that is to say what we let us call commonly in our world a flying disc. The first thing we see is the base or the bottom part. The piece arrives raw. You can see the enormous hollow circumference. We can also see the three cavities, where the buoys of sustentation is. The piece also has five bases that will receive as many ball bearings, impressive for sure, to which they inject a liquid material, no natural, a laboratory product very similar to tin. Each ball bearing will house the end of a vertical axis. There will be five and in each of them turns large thin wheels, joined to others, more small. This reminds me here and now about the description that John gave after visiting the machine room on the Genoese people's UFO vessel in the 70s in England. See Chapter 8 of Book of Frank Johnson, Genoese People, on this same website. In three of these axles are housed five of the largest wheels, in the other two only four. These large wheels end in a very sharp angle, which will fit in a slot of the same diameter in which is constrained the little wheel. This acute part of which I speak, is covered with small circles, which may well to be reels, because the little wheels that are the housed, are covered in their turn with bars, arranged in angle all around. After this operation, it is the establishment of sources of energy, which are also five in number and which have the shape of a container for roasting turkeys. Everything is well assembled. Now we continue with the inner ladder in the shape of a tube. It is housed between two sets of wheels, and now that everything is arranged in this way, they place the central cover. It arrives between four motorized arms that they turn, and drop or go down, depending on the operator's wishes. This cover in turn has ball bearings correctly placed and fits perfectly with the axes, the scale and the lower part of the vessel. We already have the engine room that will propel this bucket. Although this is the hardest part, everything is executed, made with precision and ease. The same machine that brought the central cover, now makes the whole assembly, and thus facilitates the establishment of floating or levitation. These must be precisely fixed because when they are not necessary so, they turn and fit into their cavities, creating a uniform surface with the rest of this part of the ship. Again, it would be much better with drawings, sketches, rather than these attempts to make a word description of technical things in foreign language. An image says more than a thousand words. But for those who bother to follow on, in his technical descriptions, I try to interpret further. Ro remark, these devices have two types of ladder, the circular that can go under the ship and the other cut at the bottom of it, but who coincides with the other. It's the one that leads to the superior of the ship, transformed into a room controls. The upper part also mounts by a crane with four motorized arms. Just like the cover central, it is a collar or crown, as we want to call it. This collar has small windows round all the way up and down. Going down, they create just like the buoys/balance of levitation, a smooth surface that standardizes the ship. The ship has an oblong shape if it is look in profile.